Hello.
Welcome to
Mind Body Stuff.
I'm Kaylee.
I'm Bernice.
Welcome to another episode, another week, another day.
Exciting episode of Mind Body Stuff.
Bernice starts everything with, "We're so excited." Another exciting episode. Another
stimulating episode. Another special episode.
It's special. This one's really special. They're all special.
Everyone's special.
Everything is special. Everything is special.
You like the clapping? Julie's not going to like that.
No, Julie's going to hate that.
Our producer's going to like, "Oh, hey, knock it off."
Stop it. Stop it with that. Stop with the mouth noises. Stop with the... We turned the phone off today, though.
I turned the phone off. My phone on buzz. My personal
phone. Turn that
one
off. Buzz.
Buzz.
Well, fine. It can buzz.
It can buzz, but it won't buzz.
Nobody expects perfection from us around here.
No, that's right. Well, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, so we had a big weekend in my household.
Oh.
Huxley learned how to ride a bike.
Woohoo!
So she's in this. Okay, so for those of you who know or don't know Missoula very well, it's a very active town. And so there's a lot of pretty like hardcore athletes, like runners and bikers and, you know, skiers and everything. And so we signed up Huxley for this biking class, and the ages are as young as 2 years old up to, like, I don't know, probably middle school or something like that. But this is how, like, funny Missoula is. The class is called Derailers.
Derailers.
Like, it already sounds kind of like intense.
Yeah.
You know, it's like little 2 year olds on bikes.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it is. So we signed up Huxley for this class called Derailers. And the first day she shows up, because I was single parenting and I'm an idiot, and she showed up with snow boots on and she had like too many clothes on. It was so hot out. She didn't have any water. She had this like princess bike with training wheels that I got off Craigslist. And she can't ride two wheels. And by the end of the class, they're like, you know, all training wheels need to come off, whatever. And so by the end of the class, they took the training wheels off. And of course, she can't ride a bike without training wheels. Week two, like, she can't ride a bike without training wheels. It was like so sad even watching her try do this class. All these kids.
They can ride
like
bikes
without... 2 year olds.
No.
Yes.
Well, are they riding the bikes though with the pet with their feet on the ground?
The little 2 year olds are on Striders, but these 3 year olds
don't count.
Three year olds riding pedal bikes. So,
really?
Anyways, I started to feel, and this is such a bad part of, I hate this part of parenting, and it's just about me. I hate this part of myself. But then I was like, uh oh, she's behind. Like comparing my kid to the other kids.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a terrible thing to do. But anyways, this past week, we're like, okay, we're going to get serious. We're going to get serious about this bike riding. And lo and behold, by Sunday, Huxley was riding a bike.
Without training.
And she can start on her own. Like, big deal.
That was a good
progress.
Yeah.
But of course, you're going to fall. And so she's fallen a couple times. And like, when I watched one of these falls. Okay. And it was like the most slow motion fall you can imagine. She like, and just kind of like, puts her foot down and then topples over. And then she starts like crying hysterically. My fingers! My fingers!
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, Huxley, like, I watched you fall. You literally just kind of toppled over to the side. Yeah, I'm sure your fingers went down. But it made me think about like pain and physical discomfort. And I was talking to her about it, and I was trying to get her to like talk me through why it was so upsetting to feel physical discomfort.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, what is so terrifying or like so upsetting about physical discomfort?
Mm-hmm.
Because when we like broke it down and when she got more logical and less hysterical, I'm like, did that hurt like really bad? And she's like, no. We're trying to like figure out, okay, what is it about pain that's so upsetting? And so I started asking her the question, and just kind of like when she's hysterical about anything, like I've been asking her like, what is so upsetting about this situation? So she can start to like think about, okay, what is it that's so upsetting?
That's triggering me.
Yeah. So today we kind of wanted to just explore this idea of physical pain and why we are so averse to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Especially in working out.
In working out. I mean, in Huxley's case, you know, just she fell and she felt pain, and it was like the worst thing that could have ever happened to her is that she felt pain.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, tying it into Ula, yeah.
Because when I fall off things like horses or bikes, then it's more like I get scared.
Yes.
And then I'm all, And then I overreact to the pain. Like, I'm thinking, like, I've broken my arm and my leg.
Right.
And then I get all like, I'm dying.
Right.
But then but then you, like what you did with her, I had to, like, you have to reassess, like, am I dying? And then I'm like, well, I'm not dying probably.
Right.
Is my leg broken? It doesn't feel broken. I can walk.
Yeah.
You know, I start going through all the things, and then I'm like, now you can ascertain that the pain is okay pain. You're not going to have a broken leg or, you know, but it's that weird kind of first reaction to it, I think, of that when we do things like that, like fall or whatever.
Right.
Although it's been good when I do ULA 1 because I fall quite a bit in that class.
You do.
I fell yesterday.
Did you fall yesterday? Oh, I didn't see that.
It was very quiet. Only Shalane sort of giggled. It was over when we reached the side and you kicked your leg up, and then I just kind of crumpled to the floor on the side. But it's been good to just let myself fall like that, because it's just like, well, because I'm trying to push my balance, and then it doesn't hurt because I'm kind of controlled when I fall.
Right.
And if it hurts, it hurts very little.
Right. Right.
But I was thinking when Kaylee brought this subject up about physical pain, and of course, we're not talking about chronic pain. That's a very different beast.
I think that needs to stay in the back of everyone's mind through the rest of this podcast. Yes. We're not talking chronic pain.
Not about chronic pain. That's a whole different story.
Yeah.
But this is just sort of physical discomfort.
Exactly. And so then after I was thinking about this, the physical pain thing, I just was like, okay, well, as you know, we think about ULA, like in ULA, we think about full being, and the physical body is just one aspect of who we are. So I'm like, well, why are we so able to sit with mental discomfort, emotional discomfort? Like, why can we just fester in our negative thoughts, but we have a really hard time like dealing with physical discomfort?
Or like, it's doing
fascinating
leg lifts.
To me.
Like doing leg
exactly,
lifts.
Exactly, doing
or push ups. I hate push ups. Like, sometimes I'll start, Kaylee will be like, and now we're going to do some tricep push ups. And I'm like, not me. And then I'm like, I'm going to stick my butt in the air, which is fine. I'm modifying to
my knee.
But I also know I'm stronger, that I could, I don't necessarily have to do that. But because there is physical discomfort associated with it, then I'm like, well, I just want a teeny bit of physical discomfort. Even though in my head, I could push myself harder physically in
absolutely.
The push-up.
And your body is stronger than you're giving it credit for.
It's much stronger than I'm giving it credit for. But it's almost like in my brain, I'm kind of so not used to physical discomfort anymore that I just want to avoid it.
That you want to avoid it. And I think many people do. And we see it, so this new ULA 1 release, it's more challenging. It has more fire. And the way that I always talk about the physical discomfort in ULA 1 is it's usually not when we're thinking about like the stretching, but more like the strengthening parts of ULA 1 or the more Pilates parts of ULA 1. I always refer to that as the fire, because you can feel the burning sensation. You start to sweat,
your
heating
muscles
up.
Start to kind of ache.
Exactly. And so for me, I like to think about it in those terms, like fire. Fire is transformational. Fire is what kind of burns the old way down and creates way for newness. Fire is transformative.
Transformative.
It's transformative.
Mesmerizing.
It's pretty. It's hot. I like to roast marshmallows.
What about the fire?
So, but the fire, that element, like, okay, so why do we want to avoid the fire? Like, why?
And I could also say the stretching for some of us is also hard.
Yes, but that's different in my mind. Hold on, we'll get to that one too, because I definitely want to talk about that. But just the fire, that burning sensation, why don't we want to feel it?
I think we're not used to it anymore.
Okay, so what do you mean by that?
I mean, I think some people are into pushing themselves physically.
There's like some people get a high
which
or a
is,
kick
and
or
they're
a rush
good
out of that.
Those really tough workouts and stuff, which is awesome.
Yeah.
But people like me, who are like, I don't really want any too much physical discomfort.
Yeah.
I think we're just not physically used to it anymore. Mm-hmm. I had an argument with my daughter last night, surprisingly. at a dinner party.
You and Joe fought and made everyone else around you uncomfortable?
Everyone.
No, I've never heard this story before.
That was really nice. And one of the topics was, she was saying, she's not going to listen to this, I don't think so. I'm not throwing her under the bus or anything, but... And it's her, and she can have an opinion just like any of you can.
You know what?
You
she can start
too.
Her own podcast and we'll listen to her side of the story on that podcast. Okay, but right now this is your podcast. So you can say your side.
So her opinion was that people are more physically fit now than they were 100 or 200 years ago.
Okay.
And my opinion was that we are not as physically fit as we were 100 to 200 years ago. And my belief around that is because we were physically – we had to be physically active.
Yes.
100 to 200 to 300 years ago.
We didn't have computers. We didn't have machines to be doing
the
work for
us. We didn't have supermarkets. I'd have to go out and, you know, get the hay for the horses. I'd have to go and thresh the hay. I'd have to gather the hay. I mean, every day was full of physical activity. And I think also, this is just my own opinion, it's not supported, but I think we were also used to then, if we're doing all this physical activity, we must have been used to physical discomfort.
I 100% agree with you.
Because
you're just, yeah.
I can't go sit back on the sofa and say, my arm hurts. I don't want to hitch the horses up to the wagon today and plow the field. It would be like, you have to because we're not going to have any food.
Right.
And I'd be like, okay, I gotta go. I'll go do that.
Yeah.
So I think that I've developed I'm less tolerant of physical discomfort.
Yeah, because you're so comfortable.
Because I'm so comfortable.
You're comfortable.
Like, why do I want my arm to hurt?
Yeah.
When I'm
I don't need my arm to hurt.
I don't
because
need
my, everything is provided for me. I don't need to use my arm today.
Right. And so when we're doing stuff like in Ulawan or power, I'm like, why do I have to have my leg hurt?
Right.
When I'm doing leg lifts to the side.
Right.
It's uncomfortable.
Yes.
And I'm not seeing the physical benefit. To me, it's almost like, I don't care.
Right.
Because the discomfort, I would rather avoid.
I would rather avoid. And yes. I think many people would rather avoid the physical discomfort. But I'm still shocked that people will just sit in their emotional discomfort for all of their life. But the physical discomfort is different.
Yeah, because we're much more, that's what we do now.
And because we have technology, because we've done all of these things to make our life easier, so we're less actually adaptable and we're less capable because we've made it almost unnecessary to use our physical body sometimes.
Right. We make it so we have to – it's something you have to do.
You have to put the effort into
–
yes.
You know, everyone's like, you need to work out 5 times a week, 30 minutes at a time.
They probably never, ever, ever gave that type of advice.
You'd be like, you need to go lay down.
Yeah.
Go lie down.
Yeah.
And of course, we did have shorter lifespans 100, 200, 300 years ago.
Yeah, but don't you think part of that is medicine?
Part of that is medicine for sure. Part of it is I'm sure we were very hard on our bodies.
Yeah.
You know, that work is really physically, physically tough.
It is physically tough.
But it's just interesting to note how different we are. We're such cerebral creatures now, and we are so sedentary now.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see how our anatomy changes over time,
right?
If it does, in terms of evolution.
Well, you bring up a very interesting point, and I mentioned this on a previous podcast about something that Rob said, but I don't think I said it very eloquently, and maybe nobody was able to follow it, so I'm going to try again. He said, so in the past, females were attracted to males based on their physical abilities.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how you chose a good male partner.
Because they'd be a good provider.
Because they would be a good provider because they were physically capable of providing.
Mm-hmm.
But now as times are changing and physical capability isn't necessarily how you provide anymore. It's more cerebral capability.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say like the computer nerds are now what would have been like the biggest buck in the forest back then.
Right.
You know, because they have the potential, they have a higher earning potential now, which is basically how we quote unquote provide now.
Right.
So it's not like, you know, building the house and chopping the wood and all that. It's
and
like
getting
financially. Yeah. It's like, okay, well, how much money can you make? And the people making the most money now are the smart people, not the strong people.
Yes.
And so what you're saying, it's going to be fascinating to see how humans, like how that changes evolution and how that changes, like, you know, mating
desirability.
And desirability and how we select our partners.
Because we're still like, you know, as a growing, when I was growing up as a female, not that I'm attracted to males anymore.
I only have eyes for Mike.
Oh my God, today, this is a segue. Driving. Mike's been gone for 9 days.
Not yet.
Well, it's
don't
like,
exaggerate.
It's a week. It's 7 days today. He left today, 7 days ago. So 2 more days is 9. But so I'm driving down the road this morning, taking my son to school. I pass a man.
Uh-oh, did you check him out?
It's a man. And he wasn't even that attractive a man. But he was sort of like, what you're saying, he looked very healthy. And he looked like 35. You know, he looked like a healthy provider. And I look over at him in the car. And then I'm like, I want to have intercourse with him. And then I'm like, oh my God, something is the matter with me. Like, it was just such an overwhelming desire. I wanted to jump out of the car, jump into his car. I don't even know him. And I'm like, uh-oh.
Mike, it's time to come home now.
You better get home soon. But it was like this incredible urge of desirability.
And you're still just a simple mammal.
Simple mammal. I'm just like a fish swimming upstream like, whoa, there's another male fish. Perhaps you could help me with my eggs here. But
oh my God, I love that.
It was just such a – and so I'm still – I'm still so in that desirability. Like, you know, I see like Jason Momoa. Jason, if you're listening, I mean, no, I mean, I'm sure you're very cerebral too, but, or the guy who plays Thor. and I'm like, I would breed with you. I shall breed with you.
That is,
you know, that in that physical.
And I think a lot of women feel that way.
Yes. But then of course, as we mature, I'm like, well, are you a good provider though? Like financially? So, like what you're saying in terms
of, but also, are you nice?
Oh, nice. What's that?
Hello.
Do we get along?
Do you bring me coffee in bed in the morning? Hello.
I think Jason Momoa would.
Oh, do you? Maybe. I think you'd have to give him something.
Oh, big segue. Sorry about that, folks.
Anyways, can we go back actually for a second? Because I think I was onto something.
You were, yes.
But no, something else. So I was having breakfast with a friend the other morning, and she was talking about this idea about like that we're a fatherless nation because for the past however many generations, like the dads have been there, but they haven't really been there because they've been providing, and a lot of them were gone a lot. It was kind of like, you know, during the Mad Men time.
Mm-hmm. And culturally that was accepted.
And culturally that was accepted, exactly. But kind of like the nation grew up without a father figure.
Yeah. The fathers were at the office.
And so now we've kind of moved into this like female empowerment.
Egalitarian.
And then you add the kind of like Me Too stuff to it. And we've, you know, the women have realized that they can provide for themselves. And so they're not relying so heavily on the males for providing. Mm-hmm. And so like, not only is it like, okay, we don't need you. Like we can, you know, I put my own rock on my hand, but then also like, F off with the...
Don't touch me.
And don't touch me and go fuck yourself too.
Yes, right.
And so it's like then these poor men are like, what do we do now?
Yes.
Like, and so I'm wondering with this evolutionary thing, if they realize, okay, so going back to last week's podcast or 2 weeks ago, whenever that was, about like inviting the more feminine energy into our males and creating safe space for that and just allowing them to feel and be more sensitive and soft and encouraging and nurturing that side of males. I wonder if actually if they feel less pressure to just be like, you know, big and strong.
Right.
If actually part of this is helping the evolution of getting men to a place that they can be more
emotional,
of a full being,
yes,
rather than just like a quote unquote provider, whatever way that looks, either mm-hmm. financially or physically or whatever. But so maybe all of this is actually working together mm-hmm. for evolution.
Yeah, that's a very good point. It'd be interesting to see. And that was part of my daughter's argument last night. She was like, this is all part of evolution. She was saying that, you know, people are changing, although she's thinking we're more physically fit, which I disagree, as I've already said.
I disagree too.
But she was saying whatever is happening, it's part of evolution.
I think we're more focused on fitness, like I have to do things for exercise.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably more like fanatics, but I think people now have more leisure time. So they have more time to be like, now I'm going to go take a workout class. But in the past, I don't think they had time to go take a workout class. They were working all day.
You would be so tired. I read this little article. It's not based on any research or anything, but I thought it might be interesting just for you guys to reflect on. And they're asking about, you know, how were people, were they more physically fit, you know, 500 years ago?
Okay.
And he's like, bones harden and get thicker from stress and impact. As humans get more and more mechanized, as we walk less, strain less, and do less weight-bearing activities, our bones are becoming thinner and thinner.
Oh, wow.
A prehistoric man's thick bones would probably allow him to walk away from a fall that would maim a modern human.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that interesting? Do you know how strong a little 100-pound chimpanzee is? It rips your arms off effortlessly.
Oh, wow.
So it's nice. And now if you mean, are they tougher to pain? Yes, again, when working hard manual labor, pain is always present and the people who feel it become tougher and less sensitive.
Yes.
A man 500 years ago or 5,000 years ago could probably pull an arrow from his leg or deal with a good sized cut as easily as we could deal with removing a deep shard or a paper cut.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that interesting?
That is really interesting.
So I thought, I was like, yeah, I mean, because if you're used to falling out of trees, you know, it's almost like I rode horses a lot as a youngster and I fell off a lot.
Yes.
So I got used to falling off. Well, I got used to the pain of falling off.
Yeah.
And now that I haven't fallen off in a while, I'm like,
oh, I'm so scared to fall
because
off.
I don't fall off anymore.
Yeah.
But it's almost like we just aren't doing it enough where we're just like, when I lift my arm 100 times, this is when the pain starts to hurt, right? Yeah. And I'm like, well, stop.
Yeah.
But if you have to, because you're chopping wood,
yeah,
you're not going to stop.
Yeah. Well, and one thing I want to bring up with ULA is we always say it's not about how it looks, it's about how it feels. But when we say it's about how it feels, we don't mean absence of discomfort.
Mm.
You know, it's not like everything in ULA is meant to feel like you're getting a massage. You know, it's like there is something that can also feel really good about understanding and truly like experiencing the strength of your own body or how it feels when you push past these barriers or these limits that you may have put on yourself for many, many years for you to say, oh my gosh, I'm so much more capable than I've ever given myself credit for. Or look, I'm able to do these hard things and I can do it. And so part of what I always like to use ULA for is just as a metaphor for the rest of my life. So I experiment and I experience things in my body and then I kind of get comfortable there. And then I bring that to the outside world, the rest of the world. And part of what we learn in ULA is that, yeah, we can do these difficult things. We can like learn an hour's worth of choreography, or we can dance for an hour, or we can, oh my gosh, you know, and this is more maybe in like Power One, or like, I can do a push-up.
How about
I've never been able to do a push-up.
That had that balance in it.
Oh, yeah. And everyone by the end of 10 weeks can balance.
Everyone was balancing.
And at the beginning, everyone was like all falling over. We were all falling over. Everyone was all shaky. Yeah.
And I even think of the hip move now in Loki.
Oh, uh-huh.
And I bet in 10 weeks, everyone's going to have that hip move.
That weird hip thing. Yeah.
And that's such a gift to the brain and the body.
It is.
Because the brain goes, I don't think I can. And the body's like, yeah, you can.
Yeah.
And then, but you do it and you practice it just like riding a bike, like Huxley. And then suddenly you're like, I got this.
Yeah.
I got the balancing. I have to go back to what you said about when it's not how it looks, it's how it feels. Because of course, for me, I'm like, well, my feelings, I can feel all the feelings.
Oh, good point.
I wasn't thinking about physical feelings. I was thinking more about, I can feel sad. I can feel happy. I wasn't thinking about physical feelings.
Oh, interesting.
So that was a whole different perspective for me that said. And
I think it can be both.
It can be both, yes.
It totally can be
both. I was only doing, because we're so cerebral now, and I was only thinking about my feelings, my emotional feelings, not my physical feelings. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that you brought up is I did one yesterday, and there is a lot of fire in this new one. And part of it was like, I can't do it. But I was doing it, of course. I did it fine. And then when we went down to the final relaxation part, the stretchy part and the shavasana part at the end,
yeah,
it's that feeling of like, oh, my body feels good.
Yes.
like it wasn't like, oh no, I'm, you know, I've injured myself or anything. It was more like my body wanted to be used in that way. Mm-hmm. And then it got to relax and was like, thank you for using me.
Yes.
You know, don't just assume you can't use me in these ways.
Yeah. Well, it's like you activate it.
You activate it.
Like that's it. By the end of Ula One, my entire body feels like it's vibrating. So when mm-hmm. we lay on the ground for the final Shavasana, like I am aware of all of the sensations in my body. I can feel my body. So often we want to disconnect from our bodies. We want to be, you know, we try so hard as a society to numb everything out. We're always numbing everything out. Mm-hmm. But I feel like sometimes when we activate the different parts of our bodies, then we can really get into that place of relationship with our body, and we can bring awareness, we can bring activation. And I think that's so important to health.
Oh yeah.
And so yeah, there are going to be things that are hard. Maybe you're not a stretchy person. Maybe you're, and you know, people.
And stretching is hard too, by the way. I understand that. And
you, it's not fire. I mean, it's fire it is in a different way.
Because sometimes when I really want to stretch something really far.
Yeah.
And then you feel the muscle kind of like start to shake and it starts mm-hmm. to burn. And I'm like, no, you push past that.
But see,
but if you're not used to it, you know, and if you're not flexible at all, so even a teeny movement is going to feel like that.
Right. So, well, Rob is very, very inflexible. So whenever I'm like trying to put together the new Ula One releases, I'll be like, hey, will you try this? And then I'll be like, can you do like, how does this feel just like impossible? Does this feel okay? Because I'm very stretchy. So I kind of have a skewed perspective on how things feel as well. Mm-hmm. So then I always like to check in with Rob because he's like on the opposite end. And so it's just nice. So I'm like, okay, someone who's very like tight can still get something out of this movement or can still get their body into a position that will, you know, allow for at least some sort of release or whatever.
Relaxation, the intention of letting that go or whatever.
But with Ula One, I almost feel like with the stretching, you know, what I always encourage people to do as an instructor is I don't encourage them to push through the stretching. I encourage them to like surrender to it. And mm-hmm. so there's a relaxation rather than a forcing. But in the fire sections, yeah, you kind of have to push through it.
Oh, for sure.
But fire, if we go back to the chakras and if we go back to how all of this stuff ties together, the third chakra, the solar plexus, that is where the fire element, that's where it lives. So that's the element that's related to that chakra. And so the kind of the intention behind the third chakra is this willpower. It's this determination, this belief in self. It's directional. So yeah, you are pushing through it. You're coming to these challenges and then you're continuing on. And so there is this element of pushing through. Mm-hmm. And what a great thing to practice. Mm-hmm. What a great thing to practice in life. What a great thing to practice in your body. When things get challenging, you stay with it. You don't check out. You don't try to get out of your body. And that's what, you know, that's what I hope that Ula One helps people do is to stay in their body.
You can't.
But you can always stop. You can stop the movement.
I never stop. Or I cheat, but
it's not cheating. It's modifying.
I modify. But it is once I'm in the class, I'm like, oh, well.
You're here.
I'm here. So, yeah. You know, you better, you know you can do it. It's not like you can't do it, you know.
Yeah.
So then I do have to sit with that.
Yeah, and you know, it's so funny that we talk about Ula One so much in this podcast. But Ula One is a big part of...
Well, we talk about Ula a lot,
We talk about Ula all the time, too. But, you know...
And power's the same way. You know, I mean, we just talked to Lindy, our office, or the studio manager here, and she's been doing this marathon of Ula all week.
Oh, my gosh. 17 classes in 1 week.
Going to every class.
Every single class.
Every single class. Ula One, Ula, and Ula Power. And her... abs are on fire today.
Yeah.
From power.
Ula One and power yesterday.
Ula One and power yesterday. So, and I just thought, oh, if she hadn't done that, she wouldn't know. You know, it's almost good. Like I like doing stuff like that. And then suddenly you feel like, oh, I used it.
I used them.
Yeah. Like those muscles are like, yes, thank you.
Uh-huh. They want to be used.
Yeah. They want to be used.
Totally. But what were we saying about Ula One?
Well, I got you off track.
You totally got me off track. It's okay. But
and the stretches too, I have to say, you don't feel it because you're so stretchy, but I know that has a fire quality to them too.
You're right.
I think because if you're just not used to stretching and I know some people define themselves as like Rob, they're just tight or stiff. So then I think they avoid stretching, mm-hmm. where it's like, but the best thing you could do is stretch.
Well,
is there going to be discomfort in the stretch?
Of course there is.
There is going to be discomfort.
Well, I know. It's funny when people are like, I can't do Ula One because I'm not flexible. It's like, how do you expect you're going to get flexible? Guess what?
It's magic. I woke up this morning and this thing happened, and now I can put my
arm behind my head. Now I can go to Ula One because I'm flexible. My head. No, it's a practice.
Yes.
And that's the thing. I know we've talked about this in a previous podcast as well, but like I want to start referring Ula as a practice.
It's a practice. Yes.
You're not going to get it on the first time. Although we had two new people in class today and they got it.
Got regular
Ula. Oh my gosh. I was watching them the whole class being like, how are you getting all these moves?
Oh, it was awesome. Good for them.
And they were smiling, which is always like, what?
Yeah.
It was really cool to watch. They were having a good time.
It's hard not to smile when everyone's smiling too.
I know. And then in the new cool down, when you like slap your ass and then you shake, they were just like laughing. It was awesome. I loved it. They're like, ah!
The other thing about physical discomfort, I'll go back again one more time.
Yes, sorry. No, please do go back.
Is I think as children, again, we're going to do the children adult thing, but as children, we're so much more used to it. Mm-hmm. Like we're used to kind of falling down because you're always falling down. You're a beginner in everything.
Yeah.
Beginner walking, beginner running, beginner throwing a ball.
Yeah.
Beginner jumping. All that stuff is beginner. So you're just having to do it.
Yes.
And then as you get to be my age, I'm like, I don't jump anymore.
Yeah.
I don't skip anymore. It kind of hurts, yeah. You know, whatever it is. Or maybe I feel unstable when I skip. I don't know. But,
right.
So we, but then again, but then how are you going to maintain all those things if you don't just do them?
Yeah.
Jumping and skipping, and not saying you have to jump like on, like with your legs split in the air, but just like a little jump, you know?
You don't have to do a straddle split jump, but
just a little jump.
Just get the feet off the ground a little bit.
And there is some physical discomfort in that sometimes.
For sure.
But it's just like, but isn't it great? Your body can do it.
Yes.
And if we totally don't do agree. It, it forgets how to do it.
I totally agree. But isn't it funny that we will sit with mental, emotional discomfort?
It's all
we'll sit
part
in that
of
stuff
our
all day. We'll
paradigm.
Sit in it all day
it's
long.
It's our paradigm now.
We'll just accept mental discomfort. We'll just accept emotional discomfort. Like we are stuck with it. We have to live with it. It's part of who we are.
Yeah.
But the physical discomfort, we're like, no, I can't do that.
Well, we have the luxury of not having to do it.
Yeah, we do.
In
we
this
have the
lifestyle.
Luxury. In this lifestyle, we have the luxury of not having to do it.
Yes. Not everyone has that luxury in the world. We understand that.
This is a luxury
yes.
to not have to experience physical discomfort. Again, not chronic pain. That's different.
That's
but physical
very,
discomfort.
But like my friend who joined the Peace Corps and they sent her to Niger.
Oh, yeah.
She was totally shocked. I mean, they told her ahead of time in the Peace Corps because they train you, I think, pretty well. But she had to walk 5 miles to get water and 5 miles home every day. And all the women of the village did that
every day.
10 miles
walking.
And that was not much for the ladies in the village.
Just to get water.
Because they've been doing it since they were probably Huxley's age.
Right. Exactly.
But that was just to get water. That exactly. wasn't on top of everything else you have to do in your day.
So I think this is, I am even interested in kind of exploring this in my own self a little bit more. And I really want to introduce this concept to my kids.
Yeah, it's good.
And just get them to isolate their pain and to realize this is not... This doesn't have to overwhelm your entire life. It's not overwhelming your entire body. It's isolated to your two middle fingers that gently touched the ground.
Yeah,
when your bike tipped over.
Well, it's like Ray is doing track now for sixth grade, and he's having to do the shot put.
Oh yeah,
and the discus, and so he's never done those before.
Yeah,
so he has pain.
Yeah, sure.
In his right arm.
Yeah,
so which is alarming to him.
Yes,
he's like, why?
He's never felt that.
Why does my right arm hurt?
Yeah,
and I'm like, well. It's because you're throwing something
and
your body is just getting used to those muscles. It's just getting used to throwing it.
Right.
But to him, he's like, well, that must mean it's wrong. And I'm like, well, you know, we just have to investigate that a little bit more.
Right.
Because it's probably your body just getting used to the movement.
Right.
And the weight.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I think it's an interesting thing to just practice and mm-hmm. to start thinking about mm-hmm. and to ask ourselves, okay, so what, so when we feel that physical discomfort, we'll just bring this back to Ula. When I feel this physical discomfort and my initial reaction is to pull away from that discomfort and to get myself out of that situation, like why? Okay. So why, what is so bad about feeling that physical discomfort? And then like, okay, so can you stay in it? Can you stay in your body? Can you turn the mind, like using the mind is so powerful. The mind is, it can tell us that we can or can't. It doesn't even matter what the physical body is capable of. The mind is going to say what it's going to say, you can't do this.
Right.
You, and then
it's
you can't
say, stop.
And, or it's going to say, you can do this. And then you can.
Yes.
Like
then you can.
It's really amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, so use the mind that we always, I feel like sometimes we use the mind as a, we always talk about how negative it is.
Yeah.
But the mind can be an incredibly powerful
tool, as well.
So using the mind to say, okay, like I can stay in this discomfort. I can realize that this discomfort is activating. It's making this part of my body alive. It's awakening. So maybe even think about awakening your body.
Awakening those muscles.
Those muscles. Like they want this. This is what they're made for. You know, whatever you need to do to tell yourself. And then when it comes to like the stretching and the lengthening, I always say just like relax. Like, can you ask your body to just soften, to relax? So your muscles are initially going to grab because they're trying to keep you safe.
Yeah, they're protecting you.
They're protecting you. So they're like, I will stay strong. I will hold all this together. And some of that tension and tightness, it's necessary. It's going to keep you safe. But how much of it is unnecessary? And then you just work between the mind and the body and you have this dialogue of, okay, well, can I exhale and let go of just a little bit of this tension? How about the next breath? A little bit more. How about a little bit more? So it's inviting this softening, this allowing to happen. And then it's quite fascinating. Like it happens to me every time. I'm like, oh, wow. Like mm-hmm. I didn't have to hold on as tightly as I was.
As you thought you had to.
Yeah. Letting go, letting, releasing into it, leaning into it as Sheryl Sandberg.
I almost said Sheryl Crow.
I almost said Sheryl Strayed.
I almost thought Sheryl Strayed, but that was not correct.
Sheryl Sandberg.
Sheryl Sandberg.
Isn't she in trouble now?
I'm thinking something happened with
that. I think something
that.
Happened with that there.
But the term is a nice term.
Lean in.
So we can borrow that term.
We still like the term.
Yeah, it's a good term.
Yeah. And I would just like to say, as we are wrapping up, that Joy podcast kind of rocked my week.
It rocked your week? In what way?
In a great way. I was like, stay in the light.
Oh, yeah. I feel sort of manic now. I'm not sure why that's
You kind
happening.
Of have acted a little bit manic.
I have been feeling manic. It might be the change in the light or something. There's something happening.
But oh, my God. That's awesome.
But I have, you know, I was very focused on the negative, and now it's like it's not there. I'm not sure where it went.
Oh.
Somewhat dangerous.
It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
A really great week though.
I've had a great week. Very good week.
I don't know.
It's and like, maybe it's because we did process that last
week. I think
week. So. You know.
I feel different. Like my week was different. It was awesome. It was such a good exercise. And I think just becoming aware of these things. So when, you know, when you want to go to the negative thinking or, you know, whatever that darkness looks like to you, which by the way, I feel like I need to apologize to everyone for how much we talk about our freaking cleanliness issues
so
at our
sorry.
House.
Yeah, that is.
I was listening to the Joy podcast. I'm like, we are annoying, especially for those people, those of you out there who you don't really care. That's not a trigger
you
for
care.
You. You're
yeah.
probably like,
sorry.
Shut up,
yeah,
ladies,
we don't even care
about
your house,
your entryway
house.
Table. I'm sick of it.
Yeah.
So, anyways, whatever your thing is, but thank you for letting me process in that podcast because wow,
yeah.
that was. Cool stuff.
That was
I thought.
Lot. That was good that we worked through that and the train of negative thoughts just
choo
going
choo,
by.
Bye bye.
Bye bye. You can just pass on by.
All right, you guys, challenge yourselves this week.
Yes, ask yourself about the pain
just ask
or your
yourself.
Discomfort. Ask yourself about the physical discomfort. It's good to have a dialogue with it.
Yes, exactly. I think the dialogue and just the awareness.
Yes.
Why are my habits? What do am I actually enjoying my habits? Are my pre-programmed habits serving me? If you're, you know, always drawn to pull away from discomfort, is that serving you?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it is.
Maybe it
is. And you keep doing that, baby. You drop into child's pose every time. Not my business. But it's just an interesting question to ask ourselves.
Yes. You do you.
You do you. You're the expert on you.
That's exactly right.
But to be an expert, you've got to start exploring.
You got to start exploring. Be curious.
Stay curious.
Bye.
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 Ha ha ha.